Well, good morning. Good to see you all this morning. I'm glad that you're here. Been looking forward to this opportunity ever since Brad called me several weeks ago. And the Lord placed a message on my heart that's been simmering ever since. So let's pray together, shall we, as we just dedicate this time to Him and see what the Lord has for us this morning. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we thank you so much for this opportunity we have to be together and to worship, to study your word, and to see what you have for us. Father, in this group, there are many needs, many thoughts, many issues, and things going on in our lives that you are the answer to. We know you're the answer, but yet many times we find and we search for other answers and other ways to find these needs met. And I pray this morning as we think about principles upon which to build a Christian life, you'll just give us a fresh insight in some of the basics, some of the fundamentals of Scripture that helps us to begin this life for those who are new believers, continue this life for those of us who have been on the path for a few years. And Father, I pray for anybody here this morning maybe that's veered off the path. Maybe they're not walking like they wish they were walking, not walking like they once did. And I pray this morning might be an opportunity for them to just get right back into the flow of life and the life you have for them. Bless, Father, these few minutes we have together and even the invitation time as it will be extended at the end of this service. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As a person that talks with a lot of people in counseling and just casual conversation, I'm always desiring that people would have a closer walk with the Lord and to walk this Christian life that's presented in the Bible. But I think you would agree that there are so many things attacking us as believers, so many things causing us to veer off the path like I just prayed, and begin searching and seeking for other ways to find fulfillment and meaning and purpose in life. Paul in the Corinthian letter shares with us some very important truths about building a foundation upon Jesus Christ. If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And as you get there, we'll read that in just a moment. About a week and a half ago, Pat and I traveled to Branson, Missouri to be a part of a counseling conference that I had committed to several months ago. We were looking forward to that. And you know how it is when you go to these kind of conferences. You check in. They give you all this information. And you go back and you just kind of pore over and see what's going to be offered. Well, we did that. I checked in. I was actually going to the conference. She was going to be practicing her spiritual gift of shopping. So we went back to the place where we were lodging for these days, opened up this information, started reading some of the different workshops and breakout sessions that were going to be offered. Let me ask you, let's just imagine that you are going to this conference with me. You have this packet of information as well. And here are some of the things that are going to be offered at this conference. What would be your response? Treatment for mood and anxiety disorders. Pornography, sexual addiction and recovery. Shaking the blues. Treating depression and bipolar disorders. Effective counseling strategies for emotionally destructive marriages. Staying together in a society that's falling apart. Treating eating disorders, mental illness in the church. Just a side note here, later during the conference, I actually attended a workshop where the researcher shared about mental disorder in the church, where it was revealed that 23% of senior pastors admit having a mental disorder. That's reassuring, isn't it? Well, as I continue to look over this information, and imagine again, now you're a part of this conference and you're looking this information over, you also find that there are treatment centers all over the country dealing with things like fears, anxieties, and traumas that we face in life. Now, what would you think? As I looked that list over, I said, boy, there are a lot of troubles in the world, a lot of problems in the world. And then I had to realize and remember there's a lot of problems in the church. A lot of things that we're struggling with Many times we struggle with these things silently. Because at church we're supposed to be all fixed up, right? Everything is supposed to be right. We're not supposed to have these problems. And maybe in a counseling setting we might share our innermost hurts and concerns. But as I think about this, and you might think the same way, I found myself asking the question, whatever happened to 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we might begin thinking, what's new? What's really passed away? It sounds like it's just the same old things kind of resurfacing. Well, the fact of the matter is, gang, 2 Corinthians 5:17 is still true. But so is Philippians 1:6. Yes. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it or will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I emphasize the idea he will complete it. He's in the process. God is still in the process of conforming us and making us the people he would have us to be. I was also reminded of Romans 8:28 and 29 that reminds us that God is transforming us into the image of his Son, one stage of glory to the next. And so the fact of the matter is, we're all flawed people. We all have junk. We all have issues. And as I thought about this conference and thought about this opportunity that had been presented to me, I think it's good every now and then just to go back and refresh and remember the foundations upon which and the principles upon which to build a Christian life. And so what we're going to look at this morning is the foundation of a Christian life, the details, and then those principles. And so if you're taking any notes down, I'll kind of help you with some notes. There's not going to be any kind of outline on the screen. But first of all, let's think about the foundation, and let's read this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, one of the things we find, if you've studied much in the Bible, we find that the Corinthian church was about the most messed up church in the Bible. They had all kind of issues, but they were saved. They'd given their lives to Christ. And yet they had come from a culture and they were still dealing with things. And each of us are dealing with things in our own lives. Things that relate to church, work, school, neighbors, friends, our own fears and apprehensions and insecurities. And Paul wants to remind us of how it is that we go about building a Christian life and growing thereby. Let's begin at chapter 3, verse 1. Now, our key verse is verse 11. We're not going to try to unpack all 11 of these verses, but I think it's helpful to read the first 10 verses to really get a context of why he said what he said in verse 11, and that really is our central passage. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 1. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers, through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. the songs that we sang this morning so much about Jesus and about the life that we have in Him. And this morning, I want us to just go back and just kind of think about some of the basics of the Christian life. And first of all, let's think about the foundation. That's point one. So if you're taking notes, we're going to look at three things this morning, and I'll give you some sub-points along the way. But first of all, think about the foundation. And Paul here says there is one, right? There's one foundation. There is not another. Now, when you look at this passage, one of the things we see here is this church was divided over leadership. There were some in the church that said, well, we stand on Apollos. He's our guy. Others would say, no, Paul's our guy. He's the apostle. And what's Paul saying? A church isn't built on a man. It's built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's several things about a foundation that might be helpful for us just to think about. Coming from the construction field, I'm a little bit aware of how buildings are built. And we think about a foundation. Any building of any structure and any importance has a foundation. This building has a foundation. The place where you live, the house where you live, whether it's a home or a multi-purpose building, multi-family building, an apartment, whatever, it has a foundation. Now the chances are, unless you were there when the building was built, you've never seen that foundation. We don't see the foundation of this building because it's under the ground. And one of the things we see here, as Paul talks about this idea, this word picture of a building and a foundation, Paul gives many different word pictures in his writings to remind us and just kind of give us mental images of who we are. There's the image of the physical body. And just like there are many members of our physical body, there are many members in the body of Christ. And just like there are different parts of our body and they each have different functions, so too in the body of Christ, we each have different functions. There's the word picture of the student who diligently studies to show himself approved. There's the word picture of the soldier who is desiring to please his commanding officer. There's the word picture of the athlete who competes according to the rules. There's the picture of the family, picturing the family of God. Well, Paul then also gives this mental image, this word picture of a building. We are God's building, and we build upon a foundation. Let me give you some points about this foundation. As I mentioned just a moment ago, one of the things we can say about this, letter A, if you're keeping notes, the foundation is rarely seen. Again, unless you were here when this building was built, unless you were there when your home was built, you didn't see the foundation. It reminds me of the fact that none of us have actually seen Jesus with our physical eyes, have we? Now, if you have, I'd like to meet with you after a while. But even though we've not seen Him with our physical eyes, we know He's there. We know He's our Lord. We know He's our Savior. We know He's the one upon which we build. Well, not only is it rarely seen, letter B here, it's not all that pretty. Foundations will never win any kind of an art contest or any kind of a beauty prize. They're just there. They're not meant to be beautiful or artsy. They're meant to be strong, powerful, and secure. I think about our Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading this week about what Isaiah had to say in Isaiah 53, where it says this: "There is no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him." And even though there are times in our Lord's life where, in fact, at His crucifixion, He was beaten almost beyond recognition, He is our rock. He is our Lord. He is the foundation upon which we build our lives. Well, even though a foundation is rarely seen, not all that pretty, it is very, very important. And that's what Paul's wanting us to see here in this 11th passage. There is a foundation that we build upon, and there is no other one who we can build upon, and it's Jesus Christ Himself. the foundation is very, very important. Probably the best picture we can think of the importance of a solid foundation, is something that Jesus spoke about in the Sermon on the Mount. And go with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 7. This is probably one of the most familiar sections or illustrations in the ministry of our Lord. We hear it talked about and quoted all the time. And it reminds us of the importance of building our life upon Christ. Look what it says here. He's right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. The sermon takes up chapters 5, 6, and 7. And we might say he's bringing the message to a conclusion. He's drawing it to a close when he says this. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, referring to what he said in chapter 5, 6, and the first part of chapter 7, he hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now the message Jesus wants us to hear that ties in with our passage in 1 Corinthians 3:11 is it is possible. In fact, it is expected that we will build a solid Christian life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Do we see that? But it is also possible to miss this. It is also possible to build on some other foundation. And if that were to happen, then the whole house of cards starts tumbling down. And again, in our lives, in our day, it is possible to start thinking, well, let's try this and let's try that. Let's try another foundation. Let's try another way to build this Christian life. And before we know it, we're off the path. And we wonder, how did we get here? Why are we having these difficulties? And could it be that we've just chosen another path? Well, not only is there a foundation, Paul also talks in this passage here about the details. And I want us to think about the details of the foundation. So this is point two, the details. Well, letter A here, and the details would be Jesus Christ himself. Now, it's the reason why I bring that up again and bring him up again, it's not just important, it's important to know more than just Jesus is there. He's not just a static foundation. Well, yeah, he's our Lord. It's more than that. It's a dynamic relationship with him. It's a dynamic fellowship with him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. And one of the things that we need to see here is, in each of our lives, our call is to know him and to keep developing our knowledge of him. This is why we come to church. Those of you that attend here at Lifebridge, this is why you come here. Those of you that go to other churches, that's why you attend church, to hear more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's why you have personal Bible study time. It's why maybe you go on, you listen to some podcasts to hear more and more about the Lord. Because it's not enough just to have that relationship and say, okay, I've got it. I've got my fire insurance. I'm ready to go to heaven. Now let's just get on with the rest of life. No, it's more than that. We need to know him and grow in that relationship with him. So letter A here is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's an important detail of this foundation. Number two is the Word of God. The Word of God is an important detail in building this foundation upon Jesus Christ. I encourage folks all the time, get a Bible that you can read. Sometimes I'll have people kind of, Brother Tom, I read that Bible and just don't understand it. You know, there's so many different interpretations out there, so many different translations out there. Get a Bible that you can read and read it. One of my desires as a pastor, as a counselor, as a teacher, is to get people into the Word and the Word into them. Because my knowledge, my confidence is that the more we know this book, the more we'll know Him. Imagine if the ideas we have about the Lord were just oral traditions. Just things that people pass down, stories and ideas. You know, a lot of the cults that we have in our day, they're built on just stories and ideas. They're built on a foundation of a Jesus that they created in their own false belief system. But the value of the Word of God is we can go back and read it, study Him, know more about Him, and as we grow in our knowledge of this Word, we grow in our knowledge of Him. We know Him more personally. We know Him more deeply. And we grow in that fellowship. And things that might affect us in life, things that might come our way in life, are checked at the door because we know Him and the truth of His Word. And that takes me to letter C here. Not only do we know the Lord, and not only do we read the Bible, we must know the truths that are in the Word. Now, when I talk about the truths that are in the Word, here I'm talking about things like our belief systems, our doctrinal beliefs. And don't tune out when you hear the word doctrine. Sometimes when people hear the word doctrine, that's things they talk about in school. That's the things they talk about in seminary. When I'm talking about doctrine, I'm talking about this is why we study about who God is, about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What we know about the Scriptures, the church, last things, all these different things that we know about, because as we know the truth, what does the Bible say? It will set us free. You see, it's more important than just to know where it is. We know where truth is. It's in here. And we can know how to find it. Most of us, if not all of us, we could get out a legal pad or we could go to our laptops, our computers, and we could develop lists. We could say, well, I know if I want to study this, it's there and it's there and then here's over there. And we can develop these lists and we can know where to find truth when we need it. But Jesus didn't say it's good to know where to find it. He said you need to know it. And gang, the more we read this book and read it systematically, read it personally, read it continuously, the more we draw truths from the Word and the more we know Him. It's all packaged together. Well, there's the foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. They're the details of the foundation. It's Him, His Word, and the truths in the Word. Well, let's look at point number three here. And there are the principles of the Christian life. Now, every now and then, and when we think about it, we know what we've just talked about. We know that if we have this dynamic relationship with the Lord, everything's going to go well. We know if we read His Word, we'll be blessed. All of us, each and every one of us, have experienced the blessing of reading this book for ourselves. And we know when we study it, we learn more about Him and we grow in our relationship with Him. But if we're honest with ourselves, as I have to be honest with us, we have the temptation of going down the path of spiritual amnesia. We forget. And we try other things. Think with me, who was in the Bible, as far as the Bible's concerned, who is considered to be the wisest man who ever lived? Who was that? Solomon. Solomon's considered to be the wisest man who ever lived. I don't know how long it's been since you've read the book of Ecclesiastes. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, we have an account of Solomon who forgot to build his life on the Lord God. And he tried other things to build this life. Let me just kind of share with you some of the things he tried. He tried wisdom. Even though he was the wisest man who ever lived, he thought if he gained more and more wisdom, that would be the secret to meaning and purpose in life, and he found that it was all vanity. Well, he decided, I'll just work hard. I'll work harder and harder. How many of us have tried that? In our day, we're working 50, 60, 70 hours a week. We're burning the candle on both ends, and yet are we getting anywhere? And we need to work. We need to provide food, put food on the table. and to carry out God's calling for us. But each of us have come to the place to realize that really isn't the answer. There's more to life than that. He also tried pleasure. We're living in a land, we're living in a day where people are trying to find meaning and purpose in life simply by pleasure. What about materialism? Solomon decided, if I could just have more stuff, then I'd be happy. That didn't work. He tried women. He thought, oh, I'll just collect a bunch of women. We won't even go there. All those women, those wives, those concubines, he thought, if I just had more women, I'd be happy. That didn't work. He tried success, fame, wealth, foolish living. Even in the end, he tried religion. And he said, it's all vanity. But here's how he closed his book. Listen to what he said. He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Solomon, after trying all these things, finally came to realize what we've been studying right here, that the way to build a solid life is on the Lord God. Recommit our lives to Him. Well, we think about the foundation. We think about those details. Let's think about some principles. I want to give you five principles upon which, and that really is the heart of this message here, the principles upon which to build this life. Let me encourage you to write these down. First of all, the principle of obedience. The principle of obedience. One of the very first things our Lord taught and illustrated and practiced was the idea of obedience. Do you remember when He was baptized? The Bible talks about when He went down into the water, there was even a lesson on obedience He had to teach to John the Baptist before John would even baptize Him. But the Bible says that when He went down into the water and then He came up out of the water, the heavens opened, the Spirit of God descended upon Him, and a voice came from heaven. And what did it say? This is My beloved Son. A few months later, Peter, James, and John were up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw the Lord Jesus transfigured in their very sight, and once again a voice from heaven, this is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear Him. And the idea there is hear to the point of obeying. And the principle, a key principle that Jesus taught in His ministry was the principle of obedience, of obeying the Lord. Obeying God and doing what He tells us to do. Imagine, and we have some of our children here, so this is good for our children. Imagine parents or grandparents, if our children did exactly what we wanted them to do when we told them to do it. No whining, no complaining. We said, go pick up the stuff in your room, clean up your plate, put your dishes in the sink, take out the trash, and they just did it without even question. They just obeyed. What would we call that? That'd be a miracle, right? But isn't that what God wants of us? When He tells us to do something, to just do it. And one of the things that Jesus taught throughout His ministry is the principle of obedience. Now, I'd have to admit, I haven't always been obedient. None of us have been perfectly obedient. But we do know this. When we are obedient, we experience His blessing. We experience His presence and power in a special way. And a principle upon which to build our lives is the principle of obedience. Well, if we're going to obey the Lord, what do we need to do? We need to know the Lord. We need to know His Word and the truths that are in the Word. And then we can build on that solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Principle number two is the principle of making disciples. Now, if obedience was one of the first things and continuous things that Jesus taught, one of the last thing that He said to the disciples before He went to be with the Father, we find it in Matthew 28. Remember that? Where He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The principle of making disciples. Jesus called us to share our faith with others. That makes us nervous, doesn't it? When preachers tell us we need to go out and share our faith, I don't think I can do that. I think that's something for the staff to do. I think that's something for other people to do. But it's interesting. This is something that the Lord called for each and every one of us to do. The truth of the matter is, God could have, if He chose to, He could have put an angel on everybody's shoulder and spoke the message of the gospel into our ear. He could have done that. And even today, God, if He chose to, could actually shout down the message of the gospel through some loudspeaker in the sky, and everybody in the world could hear it. But for some reason, that's not what He chose to do. He chose to use people like you and me to communicate that gospel to others. Now, again, as I've already admitted, that makes us nervous. And we won't all do it the same way, but we're called to do it. And if we're going to build a Christian life on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, the second principle here is the principle of making disciples, of passing the message on to others. Let me give you a couple of tips on how you can do that. One is simply share your testimony. Write down how it was that you gave your life to Christ. Get that down into 30 seconds or a minute and be able to share, because most people are not going to give you 45 minutes to be able to share your testimony. But write it down. Another way is tracts, using tracts. You know what gospel tracts are. Now, I don't mean just leaving them in a bathroom somewhere. I see tracts all the time in bathrooms. And I don't mean just leave them at the table at the restaurant. Can you imagine how many of these waitresses and waiters have tracts? They probably, of course, I guess most of them probably get thrown away. But when I'm speaking using tracts, I'm actually using it to sit down and walk somebody through the plan of salvation. You don't have to memorize anything. Just walk them through it. Another way to do it in our day is get your testimony and your plan of salvation, get it recorded. Take your iPhone, your iPad, your smartphone, whatever it is that you have, your computer, and record your testimony and get it out to others. Most of us have an aunt, an uncle, a brother, a sister, a parent, a sibling, somebody that they may not let us sit down face to face and share with them how to be saved, but they'll listen to it if you put it on a recording. Imagine putting your testimony and the plan of salvation on a CD or on a flash drive or an iPhone, and then sending it to a grandfather or a grandmother, a friend who would never ever let you talk to them face to face, but they would listen if you just said, "Here, I recorded this for you. Would you listen to this?" They'll listen to it. And they might give their lives to Christ. The principle of making disciples. A third one here is the principle of prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. Jesus prayed in the morning. He prayed before making big decisions. He prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane. He even prayed on the cross. He prayed for you and He prayed for me. Jesus was a man of prayer and the principle of prayer. Now, most of us, and I don't know you all very well, some of you I know better than others, but most of us will struggle with our prayer life throughout our Christian life. We'll always feel like we need our prayer life to step up one more notch. We need to be better in our prayer life. Let me give you five little tips here on how to develop a prayer life and things to pray for in a time of prayer with the Lord. First of all, there are prayers of adoration. Prayers of adoration when we pray and just praise God for who He is, His goodness, His grace, His glory, His sovereignty, all those things for who He is. Adoration. Secondly, prayers of thanksgiving. Thanking God for what He has done and what He's promised to do. You can thank Him for your salvation. Thank Him for your health. Thank Him for answer to problems with cancer or other kinds of difficulties. Thank Him for how He's been with you through thick and thin. Just thank Him. You might say, well, He knows I'm happy. He wants to hear you. He wants to hear you thank Him. Thirdly, there are prayers of confession. This is where 1 John 1:9 comes in, where we confess our sins to God and simply pour out our hearts to Him, prayers of confession. Fourth, there are prayers of intercession. This is where we pray for other people. And then prayers of petition, where we take our personal prayers to God, asking Him for direction, for guidance. Now, you don't have to stay with that legalistic five-step process. You can mix it up and do it however you, but that's a five-step way to pray and be a person of prayer, the principle of prayer. Number four, the principle of kindness. The principle of kindness. This is a principle that is evaporating from our culture. When did we ever lose just the idea of just being nice to people? Now, I know you are nice, but think about our culture. Think about how people treat each other. When I was a kid growing up in southern Indiana, I still remember this day. One of the things that they gave us early on in our education was a 12-inch ruler. And on that ruler, what did it have on it? The golden rule. It was written right on there. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, most people don't realize that actually comes out of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. But it's the principle of kindness. And our call here is to treat others and to live that kind of life. Well, the fifth principle is the principle of preparedness. There are so many examples of this, of being prepared for the Lord's return. There's an account in the Gospels where Jesus talked about 10 virgins. 5 were wise. Remember that? And 5 were foolish. 5 were wise and prepared for the Lord's return. 5 were foolish and not prepared. They had waited too late. And when the bridegroom came, they missed out. Jesus actually said in Matthew 24:44, "Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Well, gang, if we're going to build a Christian life, Jesus is that foundation. We need to know Him. We need to know His Word and draw those truths out of His Word. And then have these principles. Think about the principles upon which to build a Christian life. And if it might be today that you feel like you've wandered off the path, or you've never actually even started the Christian life in the right way, I want to encourage you to consider these principles upon which to build your life.